This is Audible.
The
amazing
book
is
not
on fire.
The
world
of
Dan
and
Phil.
Written
and
read
by
Dan Howell
and
Phil Lester.
See, why did you two in a row then?
Oh, I got
no,
to say
we're
everything.
We're doing one each. You just said Dan Howell and Phil Lester.
I wanted to feel the power of saying both names.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know. I dedicate this to Mom, Dad, and Martin, the best family ever, and thank you to anyone who has ever enjoyed one of my videos. This is for all of you.
I dedicate this book to myself because I wrote it.
Dan, you can't just dedicate your book to yourself.
Why not? I don't want this to be like a boring award show speech where I just thank people that already know how I feel about them and leave. That'd be pointless.
It's just the thing that you do.
Well, maybe I don't want to do the thing. Maybe I'll create my own new, better thing.
We're already arguing and the book hasn't even started yet.
They're gonna start playing that awkward stop talking music soon.
Just dedicate it to something and then we can get on with the book.
Alright, I dedicate this book to the people listening to it because you presumably either bought it or somehow illegally downloaded it, in which case I'm not dedicating it to you because that is bad.
Let's go.
Hi.
Hello.
I am Dan.
And I'm Phil.
And
welcome to
The
Amazing Book Is Not On Fire.
Wait, shouldn't it be The Amazing Audiobook Is Not On Fire?
Yeah, it probably should be.
Should we do that again or should we just...
Let's just keep going.
Okay, should we keep going? Yeah. It's a bit weird doing an audiobook, isn't it?
A little bit weird.
I'm just... Because, like, you know, when we conceived this idea, I really imagined it as a physical object.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I'm not grateful for the people that are buying this right now. I'm just saying that, you know, as the artist that created this, this is not, you know, the manifestation that I imagined it being consumed in.
I think it's going to be fun. I think we can add little bonus bits
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, okay. What are we going to do when we get to the pictures? There's so many pictures.
Describe the pictures.
Talk about them.
Create a mental image of the picture and
painting,
then paint it with your mouth.
Yeah, okay. Ooh, paint it with your mouth just sounds weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you got scared by paint it with your mouth, I think that sounds like an exciting proposition.
I think so. I guess we should do some kind of introduction.
Yes, that would be helpful. I think we should start by introducing ourselves for anyone who's wondering why they've just spent a minute of their lives listening to us deciding what it is that we're saying.
We are Dan and Phil, and we make videos on the internet. Videos about ourselves, our lives, and how we fit into the world.
And over the years, for some reason, a lot of people enjoyed these things that we made.
All these videos and shows and crazy things we've shared with our followers came together to create this huge world of Dan and Phil.
And that's why we made this book. You never know what might happen in the future. The internet might get deleted, a meteor could destroy the whole world, or one of us could die and it would be really sad.
Dan, don't get like that already. We're only on the introduction.
Oops, sorry.
So, we wanted to trap this giant, crazy, wonderful world that we've created with our audience into an epic Enchiridion. We hope that in the distant future, an alien race will stumble across it and bring it back to their mothership, where we'll be worshipped as their new gods.
Well, it's not only for aliens to worship. I was thinking more general preservation of memories and stuff, but okay.
I guess we should tell our story.
But where do we start? I mean, a lot happened before we started making videos.
Right at the beginning. Dear One, Dan's mum, on Dan's birth. What day was it?
How's this for memory? I thought it must be a Tuesday after checking. I was right. Obviously, this scarred me for life or I wouldn't remember.
What was the weather like?
It was a clear summer night, thankfully, as the ambulance took an hour to arrive.
What time did you arrive at the hospital?
About 3 a.m.
How long did the whole thing take?
You were born at 6:30 in the morning after days of labour. Seriously, I was in the hospital for 2 days before you decided to finally arrive. Late as usual.
What was it like giving birth to Dan?
It was exhausting. I had to be cut up like a side of beef to get you out. You asked.
How much more painful was it than stubbing your toe?
It was infinitely more painful than stubbing a toe.
Why did you choose the name Dan?
I chose the name Dan because I liked the name and didn't know any other Daniel babies, so I thought it would be unusual. It turned out to be the most popular year on record for Daniel babies. Sorry.
What would you have named the baby if it was a girl?
If you were a girl, we were going to call you Yazzie. I had spent my pregnancy on a beach in Kenya where there was a girl named Yazzie who cooked the best prawns ever, so we thought it would be a nice name. Thankfully for all concerned, especially you, you were a boy.
Was it worth it in hindsight?
Of course it was worth it. You are the apple of my eye, etc., etc.
Baby Dan is in the picture on the right. Looks like a little gremlin. Wrapped
whoa,
in a towel,
whoa.
A halo
Did you just
of a
call
towel.
Me 3 minutes old a gremlin?
Like a little Ewok.
Dude.
An Ewok gremlin.
Ooh, stop.
And then your mum looks proud, even though
she's given birth to an Ewok.
She's been cut up like a side of beef.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Thank you, Mum.
Dear One, Phil's mum, on Phil's birth.
What day of the week was it?
The early hours of Friday morning. Oh, why am I speaking so posh? Your mum doesn't speak like that.
Your mum's like, I'm from the north!
I'm not going to do that. The early hours of Friday morning at 4 a.m. Typical night owl, Phil.
What was the weather like?
The weather was very cold, probably -3. Earlier in the month, it was the coldest since the year 1740. There had been quite a lot of snow that month, too.
What time did you arrive at the hospital?
We arrived at the hospital around 9 p.m. the night before. I remember the midwife reminding me of a friendly dolphin.
How long did the whole thing take?
About 8 hours. I could have flown to Florida in that time.
What was it like giving birth to Phil?
It was quite exhausting because you seemed quite comfy where you were, even though you were 3 weeks early. I didn't have any pain relief. They gave me the gas and air machine, but it was empty. By the end of it, I was getting really impatient. The midwife wanted Dad to stroke my brow and rub my back, and I remember telling him I didn't want him to, I just needed to concentrate.
How much more painful was it than stubbing your toe?
It was like having 1,000 toes and stubbing them all at the same time.
Why did you choose the name Phil?
I always liked the name Philip. It seemed like a kind name, and the Phillips I knew at school were nice people. Plus, I thought it would go well with Martin when I wrote the Christmas cards.
What would you have named the baby if it was a girl?
If you'd been a girl, you would have been called Fiona.
Was it worth it, in hindsight?
I think it was. Haha, of course it was. You bring joy and happiness, and I have always wanted two boys, and I got my wish. You were very calm, baby, and the nurses were quite surprised I'd even given birth. You hardly cried at all. You were very cute.
And to accompany is a photo of Phil's parents where his mum is wearing a terrible Christmas jumper with Phil sat on his dad's lap and Martin next to him.
What do I look like?
A raisin.
A happy raisin.
I'm not going to be invited back to your parents' house, am I?
Player one, Dan. Name?
Dan Howell.
Internet name?
Dan is not on fire.
Height?
6'3".
Favorite color?
Black.
Animal of choice?
Llama.
Weakness?
Sharing size bags of cashew nuts.
Special power?
Pretending someone's calling to get out of an awkward situation.
Quote?
I promise I'll do it just after I finish this thing. Player one, Phil. Name?
Philip Michael Lester.
Internet name?
Amazing Phil, formerly Snow Dude.
Height?
6'2.9".
Favorite color?
Blue.
Animal of choice?
Lion.
Weakness?
Cheese.
Special power?
I can hiccup for over 4 hours.
Quote?
If this plan involves pancakes, then I'm in. The A to Z of Dan. A.
Awkward.
B.
Bed.
C.
Cool shoes.
D.
Darkness.
E.
Existential crisis.
F.
Food.
G.
Gaming.
H.
Hugs.
I.
Internet.
J.
Joking.
K.
Kanye.
L.
Llamas.
M.
More food.
N.
No.
O.
Oops.
P.
Procrastination.
Q.
Questing.
R.
Running away from responsibility.
S.
Sleep.
T.
Tallness.
U.
What was that?
That was a U.
What noise did you just make?
U.
Ooh. Please pronounce the letter U, Phil.
U.
Okay, good. Let's go for that again.
U.
Ugh.
V.
Videos.
W.
No, stop. What? You're ruining my A to Z. Just say it normally.
W.
Winking inappropriately.
X.
X-Files.
Y.
YouTube.
Z.
Zips in unconventional places. A to Z of Phil. A.
Anime.
B.
Buffy.
C.
Coffee.
D.
DVDs.
E.
Eating.
F.
Final Fantasy.
G.
Glasses.
H.
Hiccups.
Really?
That was a hiccup.
Okay. I.
Internet.
J.
Japan.
K.
Kill Bill.
L.
Lions.
M.
Muse.
N.
Northernness.
O.
Octopi.
P.
Pokemon.
Q.
Quiet during movies. Shh.
R.
Roller coasters.
S.
Superstitions.
T.
Tamagotchi.
U.
Underwater roller coasters.
Really?
I couldn't think of anything for you.
That's what you put for you?
Yeah. Nothing begins with U.
Yeah.
Sad letter.
Okay. V.
Video games.
W.
Wilderness.
Wilderness? You've never been outside.
But I like it.
You like the concept of the wilderness on TV.
I like looking at pictures of the Serengeti and imagining I was there.
Okay. X.
Xmas.
Y.
YouTube.
And Z.
Zebra. Hey Dan, I've just discovered a vocal time machine.
That sounds like a very specific object, Phil. What does that do?
It is. It lets us speak to the past without creating a paradox.
That's important when you're dealing with time travel.
Okay, let's have a chat with 11-year-old Dan.
Oh, that sounds like a terrible idea. Are you sure?
Boop-a-doop-boop.
I'm Dan, a.k.a. Benvolio, Agent 003. You know the rest. Don't know why I'm writing this, because who would even read a book that I make when I'm older? XD Lolzor, JK. Here's a photo of me in my old skater clothes. I'll describe what I look like. Really cool, obvs. I'm 11-year-old, ATM, and I'm not an emo, by the way, even though that MySpace quiz says I was. My favourite bands are Muse, MCR, My Chemical Romance, obviously, and FOB, that means Fall Out Boy, but they are not emo, okay? Books are okay, but I kind of prefer flash cartoons on the internet at the moment, like the Llama Song, which I watch every day in the school library and can sing by heart. Sorry, I'm what would you call random? It's a way of life that only cool people know. I got kicked out of the library once because I was playing a hentai game on the computers. Lol, and you're only supposed to use them for work. I don't know why, because no one even goes in the library for any reason, because no one likes books. JK... I like writing sometimes, like I wrote all the things on my website. You should check it out. And I did a quiz once on how big a Halo fan are you, so I think that'll be good, but I don't know what things will be in it. I always want a cool emo hair, just the hair. I'm not emo, okay, when I was older. Not like crazy, just cool, like some pics I saw. So hopefully I'll have it when I make the book when I'm older and I won't be in school anymore, because that's good. Because I hate school. I bet in the future all chavs won't be cool anymore and all the drama and internet guys will be popular like they are on MySpace and Bebo. I guess that's why I'm making a book, because that wouldn't happen if chavs took over the world. Grr. I guess I'd ask my old version if I need to pay attention to maths because it's well boring. Ruffle. Okay, this is Captain Cool signing off. I hoped you like it, but this is obviously the best bit of the audiobook. I'm gonna go buy this cool beaded necklace I saw in the shop in town. Hopefully I won't have any rocks thrown at me for being emo again. They're skinny jeans, not women's jeans. Stupid Grebos. Otherwise this book might not exist in the future. Bye.
Well, that was fascinating.
That was awful. Why did you do that? An audio time machine is not an object to be trifled with, Phil.
I want to trifle with it.
Shouldn't have inflicted that in the world. Okay, well, I can't just put myself through that. Let's go to 12-year-old Phil, live from Rottenstall.
Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep. Hello, Phil L here, or you can call me Flip. I'm 12 and a half years old, and I live in Rottenstall, or Rottenstall, as we call it. Welcome to the best bit ever. So, this is going to be a book in the future. Ace. I mean, it would be even acer if it was a hamster book or an entirely scratch-and-sniff book. I'd read that. I wonder if Smell-O-Vision will exist in the year 2015. I hope so. My prediction are that I will have a rocket skateboard and maybe a beard. Hopefully, I'll be a news broadcaster or a weatherman with a beard and live in Tokyo or California. I also have a robo-dog. I'd ask my future self for the lottery numbers so I could become a giga-billionaire. I'd buy a house and fill it with tiny polystyrene balls and just throw myself down the stairs head first. Sorry, just got a bit distracted. I spilt a Fanta all over the sofa. Mum's asking me to clean it up. Where was I? I don't know why I'm writing this when I could be playing Theme Hospital or visiting the Devilstone with the cool cats. I'd tell you what the Devilstone is, but then I'd have to kill you. Not. Joke. Maybe by the year 2015, the cool cats will have overtaken England. You'll all be members. Who's even listening to this? Who's that Dan is on fire guy? What kind of a name is that? Sounds a bit like a moose to me. Anyway, my tea's ready. I'm gonna go. Chicken and chips. Yes. Okay. I've gone. Enjoy your flying cars in the future. Bye. Just kidding, I didn't go. Maybe.
Wow. What happened to your voice, Phil?
I don't know.
What happened to all those wonderful valley tones?
They've all gone.
It was university, wasn't it? It southerned you up.
University southerned me up. I think there's a little bit of northernness still in there. Like, if I go home for Christmas, I'm like, pass me the Christmas tree, ma'am. I'm not really. But
I feel offended by how bad that northern accent was.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Anyway, let's get to the next bit.
Why Phil was a weird kid.
I'm not sure what happened to me as a child to make me so weird. My mum assures me I wasn't dropped as a baby, though I totally think I was, as my head is unusually shaped, so maybe she secretly did. Another suspicion is because I spent hours every day watching an insane Japanese anime video called Robbie the Rascal. It was the most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
What happened in Robbie the Rascal?
I remember lots of penguins talking. Robbie was a robot. He was just... being correct. There was loads of flashing colours. It was really
weird. Lots of flashing images.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, explains a lot. Okay.
Okay. My final thought is I was just born this way. Sorry if Lady Gaga is now stuck in your head. You know the kittens who get millions of views on YouTube for just doing really weird stuff like bouncing off walls and attacking their reflections? I think I was just the human equivalent of those kittens. Here are some of the reasons why I was a weird kid. Love of braces. I was obsessed with the idea of having braces. My best friend Jessica had them, and I wanted to be just like her. I would lay in bed and bend my teeth forwards in the middle of the night in the hope that one day I could have those shiny train tracks of destiny and everyone would give me attention and want to look at my teeth. Weirdness ranking, 3 stars. Fish food. My grandma was impressed with my swimming skills, so she told me that I was part fish. Thanks, Grandma. I secretly ate fish food in the attempt to become fish boy. It didn't taste good. Don't eat fish food. Weirdness ranking, 4 stars. Metallic green envelopes. As a kid, I didn't want a micro scooter. I didn't want a trampoline. The thing I wanted most in the world was a metallic green envelope. I've literally no idea why. I just wanted one so badly. Thankfully, I've been given quite a few from my followers after mentioning it, so the envelope beast within my brain has been satisfied. Thanks, guys. Weirdness rating, 5 stars. The Shadow Realm. I would frequently have long conversations with my own shadow in a world I called the Shadow Realm. I thought this was a great place, and I imagined my shadow talking back to me. He was a pretty good friend, actually. This all went well until I walked into the breast of a dinner lady mid-shadow conversation. Weirdness rating, 5 stars. Teddy bear drowning. My idea of a Saturday night entertainment was sitting in front of the washing machine watching my teddy bears spin and spin and spin and spin. Still kind of therapeutic for me to sit watching a washing machine filled with water. What is wrong with me? Weirdness rating, 5 stars. Demon child. I was the reason my parents didn't have any more children. Every night I would stand next to their bed in silence waiting for them to wake up. Terrifying. Sorry, Mum and Dad. Weirdness rating, 5 stars. Shower behavior. Until around the age of 14, I sat down in the shower. I'm not sure why, because I was too lazy to stand, or I was just generally thought this was the best way to shower. Give it a try one day, though. It's liberating. Have you ever tried it, Dan?
Sitting in the shower?
Yeah.
No.
It's liberating.
Kind of weird.
It's nice.
You get, like, all the cold water creeping up in places that you don't want it to be.
Weirdness ranking, 3 stars. Flat Phil. After reading the book Flat Stanley as a child, I really wanted to become Flat Phil. One night, I pulled my entire pinboard off the wall on top of myself to achieve this flat dream. Thankfully, I didn't die, but I also didn't become flat. They should put warning labels on these kids' books. May it cause your children to attempt to flatten themselves. Weirdness ranking, 4 stars. The shoelace incident. One assembly at school, I thought it would be a good idea to tie my own shoelaces together, then fall over and pretend it was someone else who did it. Why would I do this to myself? Everyone was held back by the headmaster, who demanded that no one could leave until someone admitted to this dangerous act. Obviously, no one said anything, and the true mystery shoelace tie was never exposed. So sorry to anyone in my primary school class that is listening to this. Weirdness rating, 4 stars. Photocopied face. Once my parents left me alone in the house for a few hours, and I used my dad's photocopier to photocopy my face 100 times, and then I hid the pictures. I was partly imagining that my soul was being beamed into the computer system and therefore making me immortal, and partly laughing at how funny the pictures turned out.
Wow, it looks like some kind of chicken breast has just been pressed against something really hard, and then it has like a little triangle sticking out of it, which is Phil's nose.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Weirdness rating, 2 stars. The window. One night, around the age of 9 or 10, I can't believe I'm admitting to this.
I know, you put this in the book, but just go for it.
Yeah, I stood on a chair and peed out of the window onto the roof in the middle of the night. I don't know why I did this, or why I would have shared this in the audiobook, but actual people are listening to, but now you can feel less weird about the weird stuff that you did as a kid, and I've given this a full 6 stars, as why would you pee out of your bedroom window?
I don't know, Phil, you were a weird kid.
I was about 6 at the time, by the
okay,
way.
Okay, yeah, you don't need to justify it.
Okay.
It's weird. Now, to delve deeper into the psyche of young Dan, I have now included extracts from my dream journal, which is an actual thing that I have, right?
Yeah.
So when I was 9, my grandma gave me this notepad, and it was a girl's notepad, right? I think she bought it from Woolworths or something, because it had like a little turtle on the front, and it was like, Susie the Funky Turtle notepad, and I was like, Grandma, please, like, this is not an appropriate notepad for a boy, but I thought, hey, I'm going to use it anyway. It had some nice lilac-coloured pages, so I decided that I would turn it into a dream journal.
What made you want to start doing that?
Because I have weird dreams, and I was like, I need to write this down, because one day I'll remember them. And I used to have, like, the same recurring dreams, and I was like, this is really weird. Maybe if I write them down, I'll be able to do something with them in 10 years.
Yeah.
I never did anything with them other than share them with you, so any professional psychologist listening to this can just analyze me and maybe get me locked up somewhere. So I would like to discuss a couple of the dreams
that
I jotted down in this. There was a scary dreams I remember page, which was me attempting to be quite organized with this. It went from stages of me writing down ones that I remembered really well to me waking up at 3 a.m. and just going, I dreamt about naked math teacher. That only happened once. That wasn't one of the recurring ones. Okay, so, Phil, do you remember in Final Fantasy VII there was that boss where this giant demon face came out of a wall?
Yeah, that was terrifying.
Yeah, that was... I should have played that game
Demon's Gate.
Yeah, I was at a train station with my grandma, and then a giant demon face came out of the wall, and then my grandma ran away and she left me on the floor. Still not over it, dream grandma. I know you're listening to this. Still haven't forgiven you. There was also one where I got chased by a giant gorilla.
It says... The gorilla dream.
The gorilla dream, yeah. Have you ever been chased by a giant gorilla in your sleep?
I haven't.
They're fast animals.
Are they?
Especially if you're a small child. Mm. And then another one that I featured was labelled as Epic Dream 2. I don't remember off the top of my head what Epic Dream 1 was, but obviously you franchise something if it becomes successful. So my brain was like, this is an original concept. We need to extend it from the future one. And I think it was basically a whole bunch of dreams I had combined. So I was at like a military base when there was some kind of apocalypse happening. And then like there were all these people in gas masks and I was trying to run away. But then I realized that the friend I was with was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Okay.
Very random.
That's very
extremely
random.
Extremely specific.
Everyone wants him as a friend though.
Why?
Just because he's got a lightsaber.
Yeah, having a mind reader, a kind of, you know, force controller. What's that called? It's not called force controlling, is it? Sorry, Star Wars fans. Jedi mind tricks. Thank you. That was good. And actually, I drew a map of the dreams connecting to each other. Very strange.
Do you still have weird dreams like this now?
Or not that often. Or maybe I just don't keep the dream journal next to my bed anymore because I think it's still in the photocopier from when we scanned it into the book.
Okay.
I should find that, shouldn't I?
Or eat some cheese before you go to sleep.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
That'll never happen to you, will it, though?
No, my dreams.
We'll get to that later.
And for Phil's psychological adventure, for some reason I thought it'd be a good idea to read pages of young Phil's diary.
That's dangerous. Why would you do that?
It was a teenage diary. I guess Phil of the past would be really angry at me. But
yeah, you're violating your own privacy. That's really weird.
Okay, here we go. Sorry, Phil of the past. Warning, unless you are Phil, this is not for your eyes. Do not read this.
I guess in a way this is okay because it is actually Phil reading the diary.
Yeah, it's me. Oh. I am Phil.
You're still breaking the rules.
Lots of people are listening.
Okay.
If you read this, then I hate you, as you will have stolen the key.
You had a key?
Do you know I hid the key?
Where did you hide the key, Phil?
In the Land Before Time VHS box.
Nice. Who would ever look there?
I knew no one in my family was going
Let's
to
Let's just experience some
that.
Sad dinosaurs, yeah.
Yeah, so sad.
Little trap trick, isn't it?
Be brave, little foot.
Don't bring me back there. I'm going to start crying for the rest of this reading.
I've also included false stuff, so you would never know what is true. This is all made up.
Or is it?
Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. Right. January 7th. Hello. I'm not going to do the Northern accent anymore.
That was a big mistake earlier. What do you mean? That was actual past Phil using the vocal time machine. That wasn't Phil. You're breaking the fourth wall of the audiobook.
I'm reading it. 3 stars were next to the hello. Don't know why. I'm going to try and write here every day. Happy New Year. Our street had a huge party and I saw my brother's friend get drunk. She got sick on my dad's coat. I don't understand his friends. Ultra townies. Today, I'm going over to Anya's to watch a film. Bye. Feeling. New Year. The feeling of New Year.
How does one feel New Year?
You know when you feel New Year, Dan.
Okay.
January 8th. Oh, I did the next day. That's surprising for me. So, we watched a film about an otter that got cut in half by a spade. This is an actual film. Spoiler, the otter gets cut in half. I think it's called Tarka the Otter. It's horrific. Anyway.
You just completely ruined that for anyone listening.
No one's going to watch it.
Well, they're not going to know, are they?
The otter dies.
Sweet Jesus, spoiler warning.
I'm picking the film next time. My mum still won't let me watch The Nightmare on Elm Street, but I watched some of it at Katie's. That was the thing. Like, my parents would not...
How old were you when you wrote this? Like, 10 or something?
I must have been.
Good parents.
My parents would not let me watch that. They still won't. They said it'll give me... I'll just be in a car one day and then I'll have a flash of Freddy Krueger in my mind and crash the car.
To be honest, you can't drive anyway, so... That wouldn't help the situation.
No. Anyway, feeling sad for the otter.
No! You included a nice little diagram of an otter being cut in half by a spade. Quite graphic.
Traumatized me. Right, February 1st. So I failed to do it for the next...
Quite a savage
lot
breaking
of days.
Of that, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry I forgot to write. I'll do this every day.
Sounds like me making videos.
I had loads of homework. My friend Phil says he has a girlfriend, but she goes to a different school. We don't believe him.
Ooh.
I think Cat A might ask me out, as we've been talking loads on ICQ.
ICQ, wow.
I'm so old. And we've had 3 phone calls, and there's a little love heart there. Feeling busy.
Busy. So much to do. All these girls you're juggling. Yeah. Wow.
February 2nd. So embarrassing. I was talking to Kat on the phone about an adult magazine Martin's friend found, and then my mum picked up the phone, because back then with landlines, people would be able to listen to phone calls.
Appreciate the privacy of the internet, childers.
She listened for 3 minutes and said, excuse me, it's a school night and phone bills are expensive. Do they always have no life? Like a caveman? Luckily, Kat found it funny, but not good. Feeling. Betrayal.
You underlined betrayed. I think that says betrayed.
No, yeah. Betrayal.
You're feeling betrayal. Yeah. Wow. Don't know which is worse.
February 18th. I hid a love letter in Kat's art folder, but she didn't know it was from me. I regret it now. What was I thinking? Buffy's on now. Bye. Feeling stupid. Zigzags. Just splitting that up.
Nice.
February 22nd. She found the note, so I'm pretending not to know who it's from and solve the mystery. What am I doing? That was weird. I don't know why what I was doing there.
You stopped doing the feelings at that point. Surely you just way too enjoying the drama of the letter.
March 18th. Sorry, found this again. Me and Kat went out for 2 weeks. She watched IKWY... What is that?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah!
Check me out!
I Know What You Did Last Summer on my bed. But we didn't kiss or anything. We hugged. Broke up now and better off as friends. I was sadder than her. Feeling sleepy.
Wow.
That's a bit emotional, isn't it? April 8th. Phil, you missed the entire of March there. I'm in Florida, eating loads of barbecue food and cookies. Universal was ace. Oh, that's northern. Ace. A girl winked at me on the Jaws ride.
Sorry.
She might have just had a mosquito in her eye. Probably the mosquito.
I want to flag that Phil spelt mosquito M-O-S-K-I-T-O.
Which is how it should be spelled. I mean,
to be honest, what's with all these cues everywhere.
May 18th, in nice bolded letters.
You really put some work into the art of these diaries back then. Yeah.
Got some rollerblades, but they hurt my feet, so I don't use them. And my dad said it's a waste of money. Not my fault. Might get a skateboard if I get money somehow. Feeling. Sore feet.
Isn't that just so true? I got rollerblades, used them like twice, and I was like, these are so uncomfortable.
They hurt.
They pinch. You clip them on and they pinch your foot skin, right?
Yeah, sure. I want to ride around with a torture device strapped to my feet all
day. Is it just that, like, good roller skates existed and you didn't get them from Toys R Us? Was that just the thing?
That might have been
the thing. Everyone bought awful rollerblades. Wow.
Oh, I did have clown-sized feet for a child, so that's another reason. June 4th, our fish died. R.I.P. Winston, little picture of a dead fish. Feeling sad. Oh, the feelings are back. That's nice. June 14th. Got a new hamster, Norris. He's black and white and tame. We're going to breed him with Phoebe and make babies, as Dad won't let me get rats or a chinchilla. Feeling excited. July 18th. Got a skateboard. Going on it. Bye. Feeling cool.
Feeling cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
July 22nd, written in spooky writing. July 22nd. We think Phoebe is either pregnant or really fat. They take 17 days to give birth. It's the longest wait ever. Feeling. Is that like a wanting?
Waiting. I'm guessing that says waiting.
Waiting.
I feel so waiting right now. I have never felt this waiting before in my life.
As you tell, I was top of the English class. July 24th, Buffy was ace today.
Yes.
Can't wait for the box set.
And boy, did you get that box set.
I got it twice.
How many times have you owned the complete collections of Buffy?
I've owned, I'd say 4 times.
Yeah.
The whole collection.
Across the various versions.
Yeah. July 29th, our vet friend came over. Love that I just had a vet friend. Phoebe's
good
pregnant.
Good connections for a small child there.
Yeah.
A little vet friend.
AOL says there will be 4 to 12 babies. Good news.
Good old AOL.
Hamster babies on the page now. July the 30th, some planets on the page, drew some planets. Christine knocked all of my videos behind my bookshelf. What a moose.
What a moose.
Feeling ultimate betrayal. So someone knocking my DVDs are worse than being broken up with, apparently, according to me. Protecting my DVDs a lot. Oh, they're probably VHSs, aren't they?
Or your videos.
My videos. August 15th. Summer holidays are going too fast. Mum says boys and girls have to be separate at sleepovers now.
Uh-oh.
I don't get why. It's not like we're all going to do it on the floor. We're friends. Mike walkie-talkie then. Oh, I had some great walkie-talkies. August 16th, Kat hugged me in Swaz's kitchen as she ate dry Frosties. I love how that's important. Swaz's mum saw and told my mum we were kissing when we weren't. So embarrassing. Okay, bye. I remember that. My mum was like, oh, so I heard you kissed a girl. I was like, what? Who? That's a lie. We hugged. What a weird lie to tell my mum. Anyway, issues.
And that was ultimate betrayal or just betrayal?
There's no feeling there.
Wow.
Just beyond.
So much betrayal you couldn't even express your emotions.
Beyond betrayal.
Deep.
August 19th. I never mentioned she had the babies. 13 in total. Really cute and loads of colours. I want to keep them all, but they're going to the pet shop. August 30th. We sold the babies. £30.
What a hustler.
Loaded. School starts next week. I've done no homework. Might fake a broken foot to get out of football. Feeling dread.
Relatable.
September 17th. I hate school!
With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 underlines.
Yeah, I hated school.
Wow. And here, as a wonderful contrast between our personalities, we have side-by-side pictures of Phil's shoes and Dan's shoes.
It is a good contrast.
I think it represents our personalities quite well.
Dan's is covered in zips and black.
Unconventional zips, remember?
Yeah.
My A to Z was true.
And mine are alpine, blue and red.
I think they clash with everything you have. I'm just putting that out there.
I think they're a good addition to my fashion portfolio.
Okay. Now, continuing the young Dan and Phil quest, we are going to go deep into the high school lives of Dan and Phil. Thankfully, this is in present tense. No more vocal time machines.
No more vocal time machines. Dan's high school life. What was the first day like?
Absolutely terrifying. The idea of going to this huge, scary school filled with older, taller people, just as I had started to enjoy being the older, tall person in my previous school, was perfectly represented by the oversized blazer swamping my entire body that my mum took on the first day of school. Phil, can you see the fear in my eyes in that photo of me in the blazer?
You look a bit excited, actually. You look like...
No, look deep into
no.
My...
I see the deep fear now.
That's the dread with the 10 underlines.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. My last school was so cute and tiny with only 200 innocent children students and the buildings were unintimidating thatched roof bungalows. I was moving into a giant grey concrete monolith with the maths department on the fifth floor and nearly 2,000 students. I remember being herded into the assembly hall for a speech from the intimidating headmaster before we were all sorted into houses. It was not like Harry Potter. Myself and the 5 kids I knew from my old school were huddled in a group in the corner, trembling with fear, before we were brutally torn away from each other and thrown into the swarming abyss of high school. Maybe slightly dramatic, but you get the gist.
Did you have a favourite subject?
Drama all the way. I mean, how can you compete with spending 45 minutes rolling around a theatre room on office chairs? At the end, when the teacher asked for people to perform, all you had to do was say that you were shy and you didn't want to, and boom, free period.
What was your worst subject?
Games. The word still strikes fear into my heart to this day. Games, in my school, were specifically the playing of sports such as football and rugby for the allocated 2 hours in the timetable. I can't play football. I did tackle someone once in rugby, and for a fleeting second earned words of respect from the people who usually kept whatever ball as far away from me as possible, but to be honest, who wants to get muddy eyebrows at 9 a.m. on a freezing Monday morning in England? I think the teachers actually started to give up on people at some point as a group of people started to form called the Weirdos, which was basically all the nerds and alternative kids sitting on the benches listening to their iPods all year. Of course, all of these people had reasons, such as 10-month sprained ankles, allergies to grass, or emotional problems. I could forge my mum's signature very well. I'm a terrible role model.
Were there any bullies?
In my school, there are about 10 people who weren't bullies. Being an all-boys school, it was a giant wasp nest of violence and anyone who stood out was a target. I was as obnoxious then as I am now. In hindsight, I understand why kids bully. They were sad themselves and insecure about who they were, so picking on someone who was a bit weird and different felt like a way to work it out. I wish someone could have told this to me at the time. I could have probably drawn a lot less attention to myself by not trying to be funny and having weird hair, but in honesty, it's important to be who you are and not change for anyone. If I did, there may never have been a Dan Is Not On Fire or this very audiobook.
Were there any embarrassing moments?
Any? Are you kidding me? Let's think of some of the bigger ones. I was once asked to kick a football back to some guys and I awkwardly booted it over a fence into a moving train. That didn't help my popularity. Oh, then there was the time I was the only kid in the school to turn up in full blazer and tie on non-uniform day. These are memories I've been busy repressing for years. Can we move on?
Would you go back in time and do it all again?
No. Phil's high school life. What was the first day like?
Firstly, we need to take a flashback to summer, as I had to take an entrance exam. I think I passed, as I only got in because my brother told me to use the word flabbergasted in the English paper. I had no idea what flabbergasted meant. Flash forward to September. I got absolutely no sleep the night before because of nerves. It was like the anti-Christmas. I remember looking to the mirror after waking up and seeing Phil with fluorescent yellow hair staring back at me. Why had I decided to dye my hair bright yellow the week before going to a new school? Did I want to be a snowball beacon? I have no idea. I put on my giant new uniform and my mum made me and my brother have this incredibly awkward photo. Do you want to describe the photo, Dan?
Wow, I mean, your brother looks like he's the coolest dude ever.
I mean,
shirt slightly untucked, hands in blazer pockets, effortless.
I had fluorescent orange hair. It's so orange.
You look terrified.
It's like a beacon, you can see it from space.
And were snowballs thrown at you?
Yes. We got the bus to school and I thought, at least my brother knows his way around, I'll be fine. He'll show me the ropes. We arrived at the gate. He turned to me and said, I had to do this on my own, so I think you should too. He walked off and left me. Thanks, bro. Martin has since apologized many times for leaving me, so I guess I'll forgive him. Anyway, I walked to class, terrified, and thankfully sat next to a guy called Swaz. I told him his name was weird, and we were just instant best friends. Phew! I don't remember much more about my first day other than the fact that I was very excited by Bunsen burners, and the concept of homework had already ruined my life. No worries, just 7 years to go.
Did you have a favourite subject?
Probably art, actually. It was just an excuse to talk to people while pretending to sketch a bowl of fruit. I remember covering my hands in black ink once to create a painting called The Death of Dreams. So deep.
What was your worst subject?
I hated PE with a fiery vengeance. I had zero coordination and angry northern teens on a football pitch were the worst. I forged so many sick notes. I think I had a broken toe for about 12 weeks and I actually hobbled past teachers pretending it was broken. In my final year, I actually chose community service instead of PE, so I went to the house of an old lady and helped landscape her garden. It was much better than rugby.
Were there any bullies?
Thankfully, my school was actually pretty friendly compared to some in the area. There was one terrifying guy, though. He looked like the crossbreed of a human and an actual rhino. He was so angry all the time. My strategy was to never make eye contact, avoid him in the corridors, and ask to move if we ever got sat remotely near each other in lessons. I only had one run-in with him when he pushed me over and emptied my pencil case over my head. I definitely regret not telling anyone about this thinking back, as he was probably making loads of other kids miserable too. Stupid rhino boy. Hope he feels bad now.
Were there any embarrassing moments you can talk about?
I called about 17 teachers mum during my time at school, including one male teacher. Just gonna crawl into my burrow of shame now. Also, my prom date was a balloon.
Wow, you actually included a photo of you holding a balloon.
Oh, Janice. Good times were had.
Would you go back in time and do it all again?
No way. Those years felt like an entire lifetime. It's so refreshing closing that door behind you and starting a new part of your life. A lot of people are scared by the crushing responsibilities, but I was just happy never to have a double math lesson ever again. I do wish I could have kept the lion suit I wore on my last day of school, though. Even if it did smell mildly like a wet dog. And there's a picture of me in a full lion suit with a full lion head as well.
Yiftacular.
Dan's school report card. Name, Daniel Howell. Year, 9. Attendance, 95%. Seemingly misses all games lessons due to medical issues. We hope he's okay. Academic performance. Seems to enjoy arts class and English, but has complained about maths and French teachers. Not understanding an Irish accent and claiming your teacher eats dog biscuits is inappropriate. General behaviour. Detentions, 43. 43 detentions.
You'd be shocked. I wasn't that good.
Well, this is why. Daniel is what we call a low-level disruptor. He constantly talks, and this is a distraction to his friends and is affecting their learning. Several students have requested he be moved to a table in the corner where he can't be annoying. Were you that bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, I had two really rebellious friends that were like bad kids in school. And once in a physics lesson, I'm not joking, I was just being really stupid, and he actually went, I want to learn! actual quote there.
Wow.
And he actually asked the physics teacher if he could be moved away from me. It was that bad.
Terrible.
I know.
Parental guidance. We suggest you talk to Dan about respecting his teachers and perhaps ask him if he thinks he talks too much. I don't think all this funny behaviour will get him anywhere productive.
Phil's school report card. Name, Philip Lester. Year, 9. Attendance, 99%. Was late for a class as he was attempting to sell hamsters to other students in the playground. Apparently could not attend PE due to a broken toe, which has not seemed to bother him at any other time. Academic performance. Strong results in creative writing and art, less strong for physics, maths and history. It's a worry that Phil thought Henry VIII was probably still alive somewhere.
You never know.
General behaviour. Detentions. 1. Phil brought a laser pen to school to shoot his friends, which we understand does look cool, but could have blinded another student. Philip seems to spend half his lessons in another universe, and it's sometimes hard to get him to focus. He's also a constant doodler, which makes marking his work difficult. On one occasion, a giant tentacle monster was covering most of his algebra calculations.
It helps me think. I mean, if I'm going to get the answer right, what's a little tentacle going to hurt anyone?
Parental guidance. Perhaps let Phil run around outside rather than watching fantasy television shows. We are worried about his toe, as it apparently has not healed for 6 months. Consider another hospital appointment. We are concerned in many ways. Phil's chat logs.
Ah, remember MSN? If you're listening to this in the year 2600, it was basically an online chat program where you could talk to all your friends at once. Memories include asking total strangers to divulge ASL, that's age, sex, location, competing to see who had the most friends added, weird custom emoticons you'd have to hide from your parents, and the strangely comforting beep when you got a new message. Doodaloo. Is that?
Doodaloo. Yeah. Doodaloo.
Doodaloo. Gone. Deleted. MSN is no more. Rest in peace. I feel like I owe a lot to MSN. It taught me to touch type, for one. I spent every waking moment chatting to my friends to the point where I no longer had to look at the keyboard anymore. Is that a good thing?
I had so many friends when I had MSN.
Yeah.
And now it's gone. It makes me really... Like, no one uses it in the same way as like Facebook anymore, do they?
Yeah.
So alone.
I miss it.
Sorry,
so much.
I'm hijacking your page with my loneliness.
It's all right. Thankfully, I can keep those memories alive, as a couple of years ago, I found a hard drive containing every conversation I've ever had between the ages of 14 and 18. That's very dangerous.
Wow.
I have password protected it.
I wouldn't even want to find that.
I made a couple of videos about this, and I'm still not sure why I decided to share them with the internet, but I thought I would preserve those memories by reading them out here. I've changed my friends' names to save their privacy and embarrassment. Dan, you should totally do the voices for my northern friends.
That's a terrible idea. I don't think... Is that happening?
It's happening.
Okay.
Phil and Laura. Ahoy, mate.
Matey skatey.
Skater waiter.
8888888.
8888888.
Laura, logged out.
Phil and Ash. OMG, I'm watching some TV show about a guy who ate himself.
What?
Lol. Phil and Laura. 7 days.
Not funny. The ring was the worst.
7 days.
I'm logging out.
Oh, it's midnight.
Oh, phew.
6 days.
Laura logged out.
That was a reference to the ring.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Scary, scary movie.
Scary. Phil and Gary. Do you have any emoticons you want to trade?
I have a glittery thing that says lol.
Lol. Phil and Dane.
Can you keep a secret, please?
Did you kill someone?
No, I kissed Stace.
Wow, like kiss-kiss, French kiss.
Yeah, tongue, like actual full-on.
What was it like?
I think I was bad, it was kind of gross. I was just imagining licking a yogurt. If you tell anyone, I'll kill your family.
What? Phil and Jake. Year 9 camp is coming up, but most of my year have morphed into townies now, so it might be like townie camp.
Yeah, 95% of my school is now town or village.
People think I'm a mosher, but I just wear black jeans sometimes.
Oh yeah, I think people should just swap with the labels. But I might get a tattoo when I'm 18. Lol.
Yeah, I want like some stars on my chest or something. Or maybe Buffy on my face. Lol. Phil and Mike.
I found a word that rhymes with orange.
No, you didn't.
Lozenge.
That doesn't rhyme.
Your mum doesn't rhyme.
I rhymed your mum's dad.
WTF. Phil, you're breaking immersion.
Sorry, it's funny. Phil and Kelly.
I think I fancy Dave, but I don't know, because he got with Kate.
Don't be a muppet. I'm sure there's some other guy you might like. Somewhere. Like,
Are you being nice because you're nice, or because someone is being unnice behind my back?
What?
If you don't know, I can't explain it.
Phil and a stranger.
ASL.
93F. USA.
Shut you!
Question mark, question mark, question mark went offline.
Oh, that didn't go well. Phil and Ash. I got a 3310, a Nokia, Space Impact, baby.
Oh my god, let me play it tomorrow.
If you get me something from the Icky van.
Okay.
Phil and Rachel. My mum says there's a ghost in the apartment.
When you shiver, it's a ghost tickling your ass bones.
I was not expecting that voice to come out of you. I thought that was someone walking over your grave.
I don't have a grave.
Lol.
Lol.
Woo, you too.
Gotta go.
Rachel went offline.
Got a ghost. Never mind. Phil and Ian.
What?
Playing darts, and I just threw one right into Sarah's bare foot. I feel so bad.
You're a disaster with legs.
Ian is definitely going to listen to this audiobook. Ian, I'm so sorry for doing such a terrible impression of you.
Phil and Squall. Definitely a real name. OMFG, I just got shouted at in maths.
Why?
I laughed at something in the textbook as their name was spelt wrong and it was called Poodeep.
LMOL. What's LMOL? Laughing L-M-O-L. My ovaries off?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow, okay.
Phil and Misty. Ugh, I'm just trying to decide on my top eight.
Am I in it?
You're fourth.
JK, right?
You're in the top row.
Oh my god, I can't believe you hate me.
Go comment on my new profile pic and I'll put you at three. Tongue sticking out face.
Oi oi.
Phil and Adele.
Do you want to go camping?
Where?
My back garden.
Well, new Buffy's on, so maybe a bit later.
God, you like Buffy more than your mates. You're sad.
Oh, I mean, I could tape it, but my dad needs his tapes. Phil and V-Amp. ASL.
15F UK.
You on MySpace?
Yeah, V-Amp OXO.
Good face.
Thanks, just added. Cool hair.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm just polishing my snowboard.
Cool.
Hang on, Norris is loose.
WTF is Norris?
My hamster is out of his ball.
V-Amp went offline.
Bye then. Phil and Miles. Lol, guess what happened?
What?
I fell over a bin and landed on another bin.
Ha ha ha, WTF.
Some year 11 is now calling me Bin Child.
Bin Child? I'm so calling you Bin Child.
Les, don't call me Bin Child.
Lol, I changed my nickname to Bin Child.
Dot 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 dot.
Bin Child went offline.
Phil and Sarah. Did you see I put a note in your pencil case last week?
Huh? I lost my pencil case.
Sad face.
What was the note?
NVM, it was just a doodle.
Oh.
Phil and Kyle. I hate school. I hid my kit from my mum and faked a note. Double escape.
I told them I had a blood disease.
Good idea. You don't have a blood disease, right? Lol.
No, lol. We should play Dreamcast at mine. Chippy.
OMG, yes. Mum said I need some fruit in my life. I told her fish is a fruit and she said okay, lol.
Lol.
Phil and Lowe. My mum says I can't have more than 10 people at the party.
But I said Kate could come.
Which Kate? I swear the whole school is Kate.
The one who sat on her hamster and cried in the pet thing.
OMG. Okay, she can come. Well, that made me cringe so much I may have gained abs. Or maybe I ruptured my spleen. I'm not sure. I'm glad I kept them, though. It's nice to have a little window into the Phil of the past. Over and out. I don't know why I just said that like a walkie-talkie. Okay, so that's enough of previously on Dan and Phil. Now you've had a pretty good idea of our early years in those dark times before YouTube, and you're ready for the real story, why we started making videos.
Phil's YouTube origin story.
I owe a lot to Santa, as my first spark of creative inspiration came from the Nintendo 64 moment of me getting a handheld camera for Christmas. I made my account way back in 2006. I am a YouTube dinosaur. I was obsessed with a channel called Lonely Girl 15, which was an American girl vlogging in a bedroom about her everyday life and her strange parents who turned out to be a cult that sacrificed her. Yeah, however, thankfully, turned out she was an actress and none of that was real. I was mind blown and also heartbroken, and this is why I have trust issues. The concept of her vlogging was real though, and that's what inspired me. I love that you could share a little bit of your life with anyone in the world by putting videos on a website. I watched more and more people like Smosh, Andrew Bravner, and Community Channel, and then, on the 6th of March 2007, my serial webcam finally arrived, and I plucked up the courage to film and upload my first video. The next morning, I had an email. I had my first subscriber! I was so excited! It was a guy named Dude Needy Is On Up, who, funnily enough, I later became friends with in real life, which is a strange coincidence. I spent entire summers making horror movies and fake TV shows with my friends, being brutally murdered and drenched in ketchup. Fast forward a few horrifying years of puberty, and we reached the true beginnings of my YouTube channel. A cereal box. A cereal box with tokens for a free webcam. Yep, I owe my entire channel to a strangely great cereal promotion. It took me over a year and 30 more terrible videos to get my first milestone of 100 subscribers, and that was a huge number to me. I mean, imagine if they were all sat in my garden. Little did I know these numbers were going to grow a little bit more over the next 9 years. I wonder what Phil from that first video would say if you told him. Yes, probably.
Phil's first video. Phil's video blog, 27th of March, 2006.
I was so northern sounding. I like that I didn't bother to make any edits at all. It was just a direct upload from a black and white webcam. I didn't even introduce myself in my first video. I just drove straight into the topics of Mother's Day and exams. I wonder what those snake-like things were on the back of my radiator as well. Probably made up of my super cool collection of skater belts. There's even a cameo from a lion. So I guess I haven't changed that much.
Dan's YouTube origin story.
I was a YouTube fan. A friend from school when I was 14 once showed me this thing on his laptop called his subscription feed. It was filled with videos uploaded by people with strange names like Paper Lilies, Charlie Is So Cool-like, and Shane Dawson TV. This discovery would ruin my life. All I did all day and all night from that point was watch YouTube videos. Back before they changed how YouTube profiles looked, there used to be a stat of how many videos you'd watched. Mine was 39,789. That's a lot. I watched everyone's videos, I commented on them, I even spent most of my money on shirts with YouTubers' faces on them. As a daydreamer, I constantly fantasized about one day being a YouTuber too. I used to spend so long thinking about it that I had the whole thing planned out in my head. What my name would be, what kind of videos I would make, even what music I would use in the background. And then, fast forward to summer 2009, I decided to take a gap year. Now, what would I do with this last year of freedom before going to university to study law, do some early studying, get some work experience, travel the world? Nope, I decided I was finally going to start making YouTube videos. I didn't tell my mum. She wouldn't have approved. You see, quite uniquely, unlike most other YouTubers at the time who started vlogging to no one about nothing in particular in 2005... I had a plan. I had years of notes scribbled when I probably should have been paying attention to my maths teacher of exactly what I wanted to do. I started asking for tips from everyone, including this guy called Amazing Phil, who I endlessly messaged on Twitter until he followed me back so I could harass him on Skype about things like what program I should edit my videos on and where I could totally legally procure it. I got everything prepared, clicked record on my terrible laptop's webcam, and set my plan in motion. The rest is history. Or at least relevant enough for this to be a section in this particular audiobook that happens to be about me. And that's the story of Dan Is Not On Fire.
Dan's first video. Hello, Internet.
Why is this video still public? I thought, as I still think, a good first video would be an introduction. Say who you are, why you're here, and what you want to make before inviting strangers to spy on your life. Unfortunately, I didn't account for my terrible editing, resulting in 4 seconds of silence between each agonizing jump cut, and my general immature behavior that makes me want to rip my face off while watching it. Don't make me watch this video. I will swan dive out of the window of a skyscraper to avoid watching this video. So, Phil Is Not On Fire.
The video that started it all.
An interesting fact, in fact, I'd say one of the most interesting things, is we actually, to this day, have the original piece of paper that I wrote all of the questions for Phil Is Not On Fire on.
Yeah, well you didn't, like, come up with all the questions, but...
No, you saw, but I wrote them.
You wrote them.
That's my illegible handwriting that we're seeing on that.
Can't even read it, there's a scribbling out there.
Maybe there's some gems, like, how do rabbits get protein?
Yeah.
What's that? Dan, you have, Do you have eyelashes? Yes, that's a good one.
So this piece of paper started everything.
It is.
Where is that now, after we scanned it for the book?
I think it probably fell down the back of the desk or so.
Probably laminate that.
Put that
or
in
something.
A drawer or something. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, where the hell did this idea come from, Phil?
Well, Q&As are always popular videos. We all like getting to know people we find interesting on the internet, but it's always a little bit awkward reading out the questions yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why not ask you?
Well, the Q&A bit is easy to understand, but what was with the whiskers?
I think I must have been some kind of feline in a previous life, as whenever I saw a black marker pen on a desk, I had to put it on my face. I don't think I ever actually explained it.
You realise that more than anything we'll ever do, this is our legacy.
Why do you think it was so popular?
Are you asking who would want to watch two random guys with weird haircuts answer strange questions while rolling on the floor looking like cats?
The internet?
The internet. Though also, I think your really quick jumpy editing made the whole thing have a strange Alice in Wonderland trance-like vibe.
Are you saying we hypnotise people?
Probably, let's be honest. So, how did it become a yearly tradition?
I think, kind of like this book, it's about respecting our origins. It's like our annual ritual of remembrance, as if we're pleasing the cat gods up in the sky.
Yeah, I was going to say because our audience love the videos, but if you're saying cat gods, I'm not going to argue with you.
Either way, it's a series that we should continue for the rest of time. It's the foundation of Dan and Phil.
It will truly be remembered among the best series of our time. Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings... and Phil is not on fire.
How to draw the perfect cat whiskers.
Drawing cat whiskers on someone's face is an ancient and powerful art form. You cannot simply scribble on someone with the first pen you find. There's a finely honed method which we have perfected through half a decade of cat-themed rituals. When you are ready, let us take you on an enlightening journey.
1. Find a friend.
You cannot cat whisker yourself. I mean, you can, but that's kind of sad. So go find someone, even if it's a baby or your grandma. Number 2, find a pen.
This can't just be any pen. Trust us when we say there are so many mistakes to make here.
Mm.
Do not use a permanent marker unless you enjoy scouring black ink out of your pores for 2 weeks and covering your face suspiciously with a scarf when the pizza delivery guy arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use a permanent marker. Find a nice black dry wipe. 3, assume the proper whisker drawing stance.
It is very awkward drawing on someone's face. You will find yourself leaning around them in intimate and strange-seeming ways to properly contour the curve of their nose. Make sure you have the proper elbow room to commit to the full length of a whisker. There is nothing worse than a whisker that has clearly been drawn in two parts. 4. Touch pen to face.
Start with the nose. Cover the front of the nose bulb with a smooth circle of black ink. Don't scratch it randomly or you'll do that weird thing when the pen actually rubs off bits that you've already drawn on and then it goes all flaky and goes all over your hands and it's really gross and stuff. 5. Getting started.
Starting about half a centimetre out from the nose, draw one smooth straight line ending parallel with the edge of the eye. Each whisker should be exactly 22.5 degrees apart. 6. Don't touch.
Trust us, we know it's itchy. It will be unbearably itchy, but do not touch. You cannot ruin the hours of preparation and perspiration that will have gone into this by caving into your physical desires and scratching your nose.
Mm.
If you lack the self-discipline, consider asking your companion to temporarily restrain you until you're ready. 7. And there you have it.
A perfectly and professionally applied cat whisker look ready for you to answer strange questions sent by weirdos on the internet. Or maybe just roleplay as a cat for your own enjoyment. Method copyright Dan and Phil. So now we pick up the story after our YouTube channels have been created.
Into Dan's university life. Day 1.
Like most people, I couldn't wait to move out of my parents' house. Social freedom! I can stay up as late as I want! No one can criticise me for eating profiteroles in bed. I didn't quite realise how unprepared I was for independence until I arrived to study law at Manchester University. It happened in the middle of a supermarket. Myself and 5 complete strangers who I met an hour ago and that I was going to be living with for a year had all shuffled in awkward silence to buy some groceries. As luck would have it, every one of them, like myself, had taken a gap year. This was great, I thought. Hey, we're all the same age. We can relate to each other's life journeys. It just turned out that most of them used their year to learn some basic life skills. I had none. I just spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos. Great use of your time, by the way. Never stop doing that. I don't know why, but this hadn't occurred to me until the moment I stopped in the middle of the dairy aisle, but I realised I didn't know how to cook. Now, I'm not saying I didn't know how to make a risotto or where to get a water bath to make a molecular beef porridge with truffle condensation. My knowledge of cooking ended at wondering why my toast was undercooked. I felt a sudden moment of emptiness. My spirit soared out of my body to the roof of the supermarket, and I realised from above that I was all alone in a giant city without the vaguest understanding of cooking, laundry, or public transport. I had that mini internal breakdown 99% of new students have, so I considered hiding by the fancy cheese and crying down the phone to my grandma, but I remembered that she'd probably be at her Sudoku club at that time.
No consolation for me. How had I managed to never go on a bus by myself in 18 years? I am not sure, but I realised I had a lot to learn quickly.
Accommodation.
The shell-shocked state that I suddenly found myself in was reflected aesthetically in my accommodation. Obviously, I left my housing application form until the night before it had to be sent, so I ended up in the least requested accommodation out of 10 options. It had off-cream-painted exposed concrete brick walls with rusty piping that, with every expansion and contraction from heat, sounded like Optimus Prime falling down the stairs. My bed had a noticeable dip in the middle where 4 of the 10 springs holding the mattress up had somehow snapped into concernedly tetanus-capable points. I then made the mistake of flipping my mattress over. Take this advice, no matter where you are, a friend's house, a new apartment, or even a moderately priced hotel, never flip over the mattress you will sleep on. Before me was a brown stain in the perfect silhouette of a man surrounded by a yellow aura, as if Swamp Jesus was climbing over a hill doused in